Before we do the most important thing we're going to do today, which is pray, I'd like to say thank you to my brother. You know, this place has been such a blessing to me. And I've grown in ways that I did not even think were possible. None of it happens if Judd doesn't do what he does. Hector, Judd, Ashley, Daniel, we're just in the trenches, dude. And it's been a lot, and you were jumping on grenades and all alone. People see I'm standing in front of everybody talking all the time. But you don't see that Thursday afternoon call that we got a letter from the IRS that Judd was taking care of. The gospel is that the Lord is with us here in this building when it's easy, but he was with Judd when it was hard. And so whatever else happens after this, you have my heartfelt gratitude. I couldn't be luckier. I have the best big brother in the world. And so wherever you go and however this continues, thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing all that, man. It's really, really cool. And thank you all for coming and making this happen. And thank you all on Zoom. I'm going to find a way so that I can see you also. But we're going to continue. I had an awesome week, Todd. Your haircut looks awesome. I had an awesome week, and I'm going to tell you about it in a moment, but I'd like to remind you that the floor is open. I'm going to set up a way where if you have prayer requests that you can put them, I'm not the woodworker that my father was, but I think I might know somebody. He made a chain out of wood, made a dunk tank out of wood. But we're going to have something for prayer requests and also praise reports. But if you ever feel like you have something to share, a prayer request that we can help you with, or a praise report, and you'd like to share it in front, or you'd like to get coffee and share it with me personally, I'd love to provide the opportunity for you to do that. I think often, I know that I'm coming up here on Sunday, and so that gives me some insight during the week. I'm trying to hold myself accountable. And so if you can have that same thing, please feel free, because this is our journey together. We started small and we're growing, and I believe great things are on the horizon and happening to us. So if there's anything that I can do to help or you feel like you can do to help, let me know. But none of it's possible without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so we take time to find in our hearts that which the Lord is telling us. And it's even better when my mother is playing the piano while we do it. So, Mom, if you would. Excellent playing, Mama. I have to drink lots of water. We had a wild one at Trader Joe's last night. I'll tell you a little bit about it in a second. But my praise report last week was Journey to Adventure. Something in the past that I have heartily disliked. But I told you last week that it was going to be the best Journey to Adventure that I've ever had, and I was right. And a cynic might say that I'm tricking myself. But I would argue that because I had a purpose and clarity of mind, I could see things as they really were. So I believe that often people are reacting to what's happening to them, right? Most of the times, we don't even think about what we're thinking. It's automatic. And so, you know, my kids, I'm going to text my son. My son came to church today and now is sitting in the narthex, probably playing Clash of Clans. And I don't want to be up in heaven looking down. It looks hot down there, my man. Because he doesn't come to church. Sorry. I just texted him. I'm not going to do what everybody thinks I'm going to do, which is freak out. Oftentimes, my kids just have assumptions about food. I work at a grocery store, amongst other things, but I have to go to a special grocery store because if I were to ever insult them by bringing home cinnamon toasty squares from Trader Joe's and not cinnamon toast crunch, I mean, we're going to be, it's pistols at dawn. Because they have an assumption that they only like cinnamon toast crunch, which is part of a balanced breakfast. I had assumed that I don't like Journey to Adventure. Well, well, well. I had assumed that I didn't like Journey to Adventure, and so I was thinking thoughts in the week leading up to it. When we had our teachers' meeting, they said, don't forget, Journey to Adventure's in 3 weeks. Oh, my gosh. And then that thought would chain to another one. We used to do the Journey to Adventure different, and I like that one better. I don't know why we do that. And then on and on and on it goes. And I sit in this swamp of negative thoughts that I've created for myself and then wonder why Journey to Adventure is so awful. Did that make sense? But last week, the Lord was revealing to me the error of my ways, correcting my thoughts and behavior. And so I thought to myself, I am going to make a conscious effort to be a positive person, to be a disciple of Christ, and to be happy in this journey to adventure. And it's kind of like silly and laughing now here we are at church, but this is real deal. This is tactical spirituality, I would say. It's finding the Lord in every nook and cranny of your life. And there were times where it was difficult. On Wednesday, we went to Medieval Times. I did have the joy of annoying my daughter. Hark, fair maiden, prithee, why dost thou? And then I would, Dad. It's like, we're in Medieval Times. There was no forks in Medieval Times. Henceforth, there are no forks at Medieval Times. They don't have forks, but they have Pepsi. Dude, I got a lot of tables. But before they let you into Medieval Times, you stand in this lobby. And I didn't know that every middle school in Southern California or possibly the Western Hemisphere was also going to Medieval Times on this day. And so imagine, if you will, an enclosed space filled with about 1,000 10 to 14-year-olds. And then mix in the subtle earthy aroma of horse dung. And then you got a pretty good picture of where I was at. After having driven an hour and a half in a school bus, sitting next to this poor kid, drew the short straw and had to sit next to the teacher. And he was like a first grader. And for half the trip, he was just staring at me like this. And I was like, hey, man, how's it going? Finally, I turned over. He's like, you got a steering problem? Anyhow, I said, you want to play a game? Let's see how many cars we can count. Tricked him again, Donna. That's why they pay me the big bucks. But in that moment where I was feeling it, I was starting to get frustrated. And I could sense that my kids were feeling kind of nervous because they were like bigger, older kids or whatever. And when they get nervous, they tend to act out. And I was feeling it like build up this frustration. When are they going to let us in? How much longer? In that moment, I remembered my training. And I closed my eyes and I just said a quick word to the Lord. Jesus, help me. Help me here at Medieval Times. Remind me of what I said, Lord, and give me the guidance that I need. And he did. And it was wonderful. And I managed to find some peace in that moment. They let us in, and we had a great time. We put on our hats and waved our flags. All of the kids got half a bird. I said that I was a vegetarian. I got a handful of cold pasta salad. What do I care, Donna? Right? I have bread that you don't even know about, ladies. Heavenly bread. And I had a wonderful time. It was just like that. Moment after moment, the things that used to bother me, I'm freed from. When the Lord says that we are created in his image, it's possible that he means that literally, but I would argue that it's also possible that I'm created in his image in that I'm compatible with his spirit. My lovely little cats are not compatible the same way I am compatible. They will live their whole lives chasing a laser pointer. They never get it. They never figure out that it's me that has it. But I'm created in a way, as you are, that the Lord can reveal to you truth and you can grow. You may be in a place of peace and happiness. Rejoice. You may be in a place of despair and bitterness. But remember that he is with you. I myself have been in places of darkness and bitterness and despair. And I lived in a world for years with no hope, with the walls closing in. And now I live in a world where I can be happy and peaceful at Medieval Times. In every moment, he encourages me along because I'm created to do it. I just wasn't doing it before. The Lord is calling us all to follow him, but we are not always listening. The cares and thoughts of the world preoccupy and cloud our minds. I wake up, I pray, I feel good. And then my phone starts to ring and I get emails and anxiety starts to build. And then the kids come in the room and they're loud and they're being mean to each other, right? And the voice of the Lord that was so clear is now diminished. What's that, Lord? But I've been training like the Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off, painting the fence, Justina. Now I'm a warrior of God. That can find peace, happiness, and love in the darkest of situations. And I'm getting better and better and better at it. And I tell you this to encourage you. Because if I can do it, brothers and sisters, you could do it. If this guy, for 35 years, 40 years, can bang his head against the wall, can finally be, wait, what am I doing? And live in peace and happiness, you can do it. I went to the School of Hard Knocks. I took night classes, Hector, at the School of Hard Knocks. But I am redeemed. Because the Lord says, who among you, if he had 99 sheep, wouldn't go find the lost one? If you're one of the 99, rejoice. But if you're one of the one, have hope. Matthew 25, verse 1. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. Weddings used to be a big affair. And you would have all kinds of different things. So in the parable of the virgins, the Lord is supposed to come, and, you know, it's like they have bridesmaids and everything coming in, having a big old deal. Then the kingdom of heaven will compare to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him and the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." So, back to our Journey to Adventure analogy. For years, I went on Journey to Adventure, like those foolish virgins. And the Lord was calling to me, counseling me. "You can be happy even in this moment, Gabe." But I couldn't hear it. Too foolish. So for years and years and years, I went about believing that happiness was incumbent upon outside exterior things, right? I'm unhappy because I'm at work, but on the weekend, I will be happy. A foolish virgin was I, Emilio. Jesus often refers to lamps and light and oil because everybody would have understood that at the time, but also because when you're in darkness, you're stumbling around. You don't know what you're doing. When we have unity night with the kids, when it's dark up there, they won't go up. And I say to them, "There's nothing in the dark. If we went up there right now, they would have no problem because they can see." The light of the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we need to do, but we often aren't paying attention. We all have the ability to hear and receive the word, but we don't listen because we're busy. Often justifiably so, but that doesn't make it any better. Whether you have a good reason or a bad reason not to follow the Lord, either way, you're in the pit. The pit of despair. Don't even try to escape. But when you have the light of the Holy Spirit, even in difficult circumstances, you may be in a position where you can't be happy, but you can find peace. If you have the light of the Spirit, it's like, the way I think about it, Aiden, is like, concentration is like a flashlight, right? So I'm doing a math problem or my taxes, heaven forbid, or I'm driving a car and so I'm concentrating on what I'm doing. But the awareness of the Holy Spirit is like a floodlight, and it illuminates my general exterior. It's like Ashley with her children. The TV's on. There's a bunch of things. She's hearing all of those things, but one of her children says something. Whoom! She's attuned to it. Did that make sense? There's the coffee machines going on and the things and all of the noise of the toys. And then little Valerie starts to cry, and she's attuned to it, so she hears it. Her awareness of her child is dwelt in her mind. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Even you can be driving and doing all of these things, but if you can get in tune with the Spirit, you can hear him. And he will call to you and reveal to you what you should do in any particular circumstance. Prayer is the best way to increase our ability to hear the guidance of the Lord. Being mindful of our thoughts and behaviors help us to see if we are living in accordance with him. So Trader Joe's last night. I'm going to spill all the tea right now, Connie. If you've ever been to a Trader Joe's, you know that there's like the registers, and then there's the bridge. They're nautical themes, Daniel, the Trader Joe's. So we don't call ourselves employees, we call ourselves crew. We don't call them managers, we call them mates. And we don't call them general managers, we call them captains. Ergo, the place where the mates and the captains are is called the bridge. And the bathrooms are called the poop deck because they're childish, Brennan. So we're all checking out groceries, and an older woman goes up to the bridge. A common occurrence, right? Something's wrong with the packaging, got to figure it out. But next thing I know, there's some kind of raised voices yelling, and I'm kind of far away. Now there's gesticulating and pointing. Voices are going up. Now everybody is looking like they're trying not to look. But they're looking. And I felt compelled to know what was going on. What manner of disagreement is this? What are the arguments on both sides? Is there any way that I can solve this? What business of it is mine? Why do I feel compelled to involve myself in this drama? But it was like I kept on thinking. I was distracted. The person whose groceries I was bagging had her phone and was doing this. And then she looked over at me like, and I just like, you know, I don't know. And then afterwards, the lady, it was like 15 minutes of yelling. This was like in Trader Joe's, it's like dog years, that's like 3 years. It's like that's the war in the Middle East. 15, 20 minutes of yelling at the bridge. Then afterwards, all of the people came together. And I felt like the Lord was saying, don't get involved, Gabe. Not because you're better than them, but because you want to keep your heart pure. But I want to know, Lord. What was she mad about? Why was she yelling? Ooh, what did they say? Back. Please let me know. But because I've been praying, if that doesn't mean that you have to do it, but for me, at that moment, I felt like the Lord was calling me to tend to my own business. Did that make sense? And so I did. And wouldn't you know it, that feeling, that yearning to want to know the gossip left. He helps me. He helps me. He leads me. I don't always listen. But when I do, he's always faithful, whether it's in big things or little things. The fear that I have for my children, they're growing older. I hate it. I hate it with every fiber of my being. I hate it. My son looks me square in the eyes. Hey, Dad. My little daughter. Makeup. Like a Philistine. Just joking. I don't say anything. My little green-eyed girl. The whispers of fear. What's going to happen when she goes to high school? She's not at our small little Christian school with her dad to watch over her. What horrors. Cthulhu raises up from the swimming pool at Venice High. But he calms me. He calms me. He guides me in little things. He's a salve to the burning. Only because I've worked, you see. I won't tell you what to say. I won't tell you what to do. All I would ask and urge you to do is seek him. And he'll tell you. Matthew 15:10. I'm going to paraphrase so I can kind of get a real. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out. For years and years and years, I was a complaining complainer who complained. My earliest childhood memories are of saying, I hate vacation. You can ask my brothers and sisters. I was the grumpiest five-year-old in the world. We're all going to Disneyland. I hate vacation. I hated everything. I was just a grump all the time. And everything that would come out of my mouth were grumpy, negative words. Our words, our thoughts, our actions reflect what's here and here. So that woman who was at the bridge last night, I love her and I hope she's doing well, but she's going to put herself through hell time and time again because she's not doing the thing that she needs to do. Complain, complain, complain. That doesn't make her a bad person. That makes her a person who goes into Trader Joe's where people are happy and make people sad. And if you can't be happy at a Trader Joe's, brothers and sisters, I would encourage you to look in the mirror. It's what comes out of your mouth. For years, I said, I hate Journey to Adventure. Did that make sense? For years, I would speak my fears. People would come up to me, Jude's graduating for the thing. She's really growing up. Get thee behind me, Satan. And then I would say back, oh yeah, I'm really worried. And we just create this atmosphere of fear. But not anymore. Not anymore. Because I'm capable. You are capable. There is no situation that you can find yourself in that you cannot lovingly and peacefully extract yourself from. Just do the work. For years, I thought in terms of right and wrong. It's actions and consequences. The Lord's calling me from my sin, not so that I'm holier. That might be a byproduct, but he's calling me because he loves me. For the same reason I tell my children to eat their vegetables and brush their teeth. Stay away from the gossip, Gabriel. But why, Lord? I bet it's so interesting. And they'll all know, and I won't know. Come with me. But I don't wanna. But I'm growing, you see. And if you think you can see it, you don't have any idea how it feels. And when you do, those of you, when you have those moments of peace, all of us. Last thing. Matthew 16:13. It's also in Mark. Jesus is doing these wonderful things, and the Pharisees don't like it. But people aren't sure what that means, right? Samson killed like a bunch of Philistines with a donkey's jawbone. And Moses parted the Red Sea. So even the Pharisees are like, well, you're just casting out demons using the power of the demons. So who is this man who raises the dead and walks on water? Matthew 16:13. Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus Christ was telling all of them the same thing. He's the Christ. He's the Christ. But the others couldn't hear it for whatever reason. Peter heard it. Blessed are you, Peter. You're blessed. It's a good feeling. Because you didn't read this in the scrolls. The Spirit of the Almighty God revealed it to you. And my church will be built on revelations such as these. Another Trader Joe's stories that happened last night. It was a wild time, Hector. I was checking out the groceries, and there's, you know, sometimes people like get a little peckish, and they'll open something and they'll eat it as they're shopping. And these two people were kind of bagging their groceries, and the woman's got a bag of chips, and she's eating, and she like holds them out to her husband or boyfriend or whatever, and he like takes a handful and he goes to eat one, and one of them falls on the ground. And he bends over to pick it up, and she says, oh, don't, one of them will get it. That was difficult for me. May not have been difficult for you, but it was difficult for me. Because it felt to me like she was putting herself above me. Right? Like, he'll pick up the trash. One of them will pick up the trash. Maybe she did mean that. Maybe she didn't. But in that moment, when I began to get angry, the Lord revealed to me, you love your neighbors. You love them. You love them just as yourself. If you only love those who love you, Gabe, then you're no better than the Gentiles. And they're gross. Love your enemies, which means you don't have any enemies. And so in the past, I would have dwelt on that. I don't know if you guys are anything like me. But after they would have, I wouldn't have said anything because I need my job. But after they would have left, I would have had all of these movie clips in my mind. Dude, you know what I should have said? And then I would have, oh, dude, you said that. She would have been like, oh, my God. She just burst into 1,000 bats, and they would have carried you off on their shoulders, Gabe, the mighty warrior of Trader Joe's. But then I would be trapped, be chained by those negative feelings and emotions, and I would live in a world of vengeance. The Lord said, love your neighbors. And so in that moment, as I was starting to get angry, I just let it go. I don't say that to brag or boast. I only say it because after that, I felt good. And after she left, you know what I did? I went and picked up the chip and threw it away. And I loved her, just like I loved the lady who was yelling at the bridge. I don't always do this. I often succumb to anger and bitterness. But when I'm able to hear him, I'm the one who's freed, you see? That's how I can go to Trader Joe's and have the best day ever. Of course I could have the best Sunday ever with you guys. You're awesome. This is a great place. We sing and we laugh and we joke. Can you even be peaceful and loving and on the 405 freeway? Ha-ha, that's another animal altogether. Can you be happy at your job? Can you be happy under difficult circumstances? Maybe not happy, but peaceful. If you will shine the light of the Lord's presence and awareness in your life, he will show you how to do it. And if you are thinking to yourself right now, yeah, but, you may be right, but you're also selling yourself short. If you're waiting for redemption, you're going to be waiting. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right now, right here, in this pew, in your car, at your home. It's here, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. Everything that you need. The counsel, the guidance, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's awesome. This week, be blessed in your life. This week, tend to business. Find ways and means of fitting your prayer time in. And then once you've done that, as you go throughout the day, be aware like a mother hearing her child. And when you feel like you are hearing the Lord call you to do something, do it. Because you will reap the benefits. And then after you've done it, come back here and tell me about it. And we can all rejoice in your victories together. This is it. This is the gospel, the kingdom of God. He's calling us all to follow him. We've known it for thousands of years. We've just given ourselves excuses not to do it. And if you are doing it, bless you. Keep on doing it. There's a reason that he calls himself a good shepherd. There's a reason the Bible says he's a wise counselor. When Judd asked me to be the interim president, I was nervous and afraid because it's new to me. You want me to put a classroom full of children asleep talking about the Babylonian Empire? I got you, dude. You want me to wait tables and bag groceries? Not even a problem. You want me to play video games and shoot baskets? Or raise children, not a problem. But I'm confident because I know that I have the support of people who are kind and loving. But above all, I have the guidance, the counsel of him who never fails. Seek him. Seek him. Seek him. He's knocking at the door. Open it up. It's fantastic, Aiden. And when you come to church, don't sit in the narthex. boom, dropping bombs on my son. I love him. He's the best in the West. Thank you. Thank you for coming this morning. I hope you get as much out of it as I do, Todd. Because I walk out of here like walking a foot off the ground, floating out of here, Hector. Love it. The Holy Spirit is here, waiting for all of us if we will seek him. And we seek him through prayer. And we're going to do it right now. And no, Mom, you have to wait in the narthex until we're done. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for this opportunity to follow you. Help us, Lord. Guide us this week. Heal us in our bodies. Heal us in our minds. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Eyes to see and a heart that understands. Help us to recognize the voice of the shepherd and give us the courage to follow you, Lord. Bind the enemy from us. Reveal his pitfalls and traps. Bring us back next week filled with the good news of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.